It's Sunday, April 19th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Try something right now. Wiggle your finger. You just decided to do that, right? You read the sentence, considered the request, and chose to move your finger. That's the experience of free will, the feeling that you are the author of your own actions. In 1983, a neuroscientist named Benjamin Libet ran an experiment that called that entire experience into question. What he found was that your brain begins preparing to move your finger about half a second before you consciously decide to move it. The brain starts the action. Then you feel like you chose it. The experiment has been debated, replicated, criticized, and reinterpreted for over 40 years. It hasn't been resolved. And the question it raises, whether you're actually making decisions or just watching your brain make them for you, is one of the oldest and most unsettling questions in human thought. Libet's setup was simple. He asked subjects to sit in front of a clock with a rapidly rotating dot, similar to a second hand but faster. Their task was to flex their wrist whenever they felt like it, spontaneously, and to note the position of the dot at the moment they first felt the urge to move. Meanwhile, electrodes on their scalps measured brain activity. Neuroscientists already knew about something called the readiness potential, a slow buildup of electrical activity in the brain's motor cortex that precedes voluntary movement. This had been discovered in 1965 by German researchers Kornhuber and Dieke. What Libet wanted to know was how the readiness potential related to the conscious experience of deciding to move. The results were striking. The readiness potential began about 550 milliseconds before the actual movement. But the subjects reported feeling the conscious urge to move only about 200 milliseconds before the movement. That left a gap of roughly 350 milliseconds during which the brain was already preparing to act before the person was aware of having made a decision. The brain appeared to be making the call, and consciousness was showing up after the fact to take credit. Libet himself was careful about what he concluded. He didn't claim that free will was an illusion. He proposed that while the brain may initiate actions unconsciously, consciousness retains a veto power, the ability to stop an action in the roughly 200 milliseconds between becoming aware of the urge and actually executing the movement. You might not choose to start something, but you can choose to stop it. Free will, in Libet's framing, was not the power to initiate, but the power to inhibit. Others were less cautious. Neuroscientist Sam Harris, in his 2012 book Free Will, argued that the experiment confirms what physics already implies. Every event, including every thought and every decision, is the product of prior causes stretching back to the Big Bang. You didn't choose to read this sentence. The chain of cause and effect that started with the formation of the universe determined that you would be here, hearing these words, at this moment. Consciousness, in this view, is a spectator. It watches the brain make decisions and then constructs a narrative in which it was the one deciding. Harris called free will an illusion, arguing that you are, in his words, a biochemical puppet. The experiment has been challenged on multiple fronts. The most significant critique came in 2012 from neuroscientist Aaron Scherger, who reanalyzed the readiness potential and argued it doesn't represent an unconscious decision at all. Instead, Scherger proposed that the readiness potential is random neural noise, fluctuations in brain activity that are always happening. When subjects are told to move whenever they feel like it, with no external trigger, their brain has to decide based on something, and what it uses is the moment when this random noise crosses a certain threshold. The decision doesn't happen 550 milliseconds before the movement. It happens when the noise peaks, and the readiness potential is just the ramp-up of that noise viewed after the fact. Think of a pot of water on a stove. Bubbles are forming all the time. The one that breaks the surface didn't decide to boil. It just happened to be the fluctuation that crossed the threshold. Scherger's interpretation suggests the brain isn't making a secret decision before you're aware of it. It's that in the absence of any reason to move at one time versus another, the timing is essentially random, driven by background noise rather than by some hidden unconscious commander. The philosopher Daniel Dennett mounted a different kind of challenge. Dennett is a compatibilist, meaning he believes that free will and determinism are not actually in conflict. His argument is that Harris and others are attacking a version of free will that almost no serious philosopher defends, the idea that your decisions must be uncaused, emerging from some immaterial soul that exists outside the laws of physics. That version is what Dennett calls the everyday concept of free will, and he agrees it doesn't exist. But he argues there's a better version worth defending. Free will as the capacity for self-control, deliberation, and rational response to reasons. In Dennett's view, the fact that your decisions have causes doesn't make them unfree. A chess computer's moves are entirely determined by its programming, but we still meaningfully distinguish between a good chess program and a bad one. The good one responds to the board position sophisticated ways. Humans do something similar, but vastly more complex. We model the future, consider consequences, weigh competing values, and adjust our behavior accordingly. That capacity, even though it runs on deterministic neural hardware, is what free will actually refers to. Asking whether it's really free in some cosmic, uncaused sense is asking the wrong question. Dennett's now famous response to Harris, "If you think that free will is an illusion, I am afraid you are not thinking very carefully." This is the divide that runs through the entire debate. Harris says, "Your brain makes decisions before you're aware of them. Your thoughts arise from causes you didn't choose. Therefore, you are not the author of your actions." Dennett says, "Of course your thoughts have causes, but the kind of causal process matters. A person who deliberates, weighs evidence, and changes their mind in response to new information is meaningfully different from a rock rolling downhill, even if both are governed by physics. The question isn't whether your decisions have causes. It's whether you have the right kind of causes. The practical stakes are real. If free will is genuinely an illusion, the implications for criminal justice are significant. We punish people because we believe they chose to break the law. If choice is an illusion, punishment becomes harder to justify morally, though both Harris and Dennett agree that incapacitation, keeping dangerous people away from others, remains justified regardless. The difference is in retribution. If nobody truly chose their actions, does anyone truly deserve punishment? Harris says no, we should treat criminals the way we treat natural disasters, as problems to be managed, not moral agents to be condemned. Dennett says the question is poorly framed. The criminal justice system doesn't need metaphysical free will to function. It needs the practical concept of responsibility, which compatibilism preserves. The debate extends into daily life in ways most people don't consider. Studies have shown that when people are primed to believe that free will doesn't exist, they're more likely to cheat on tests, less likely to help others, and more likely to behave aggressively. Whether or not free will is real in some ultimate philosophical sense, the belief in it appears to be functionally important for how people treat each other. The useful fiction, if it is a fiction, might be load-bearing. 40 years after Libet's experiment, the readiness potential has been reinterpreted, the philosophical frameworks have been refined, and the neuroscience has gotten more sophisticated. The question hasn't been answered. What's changed is that we now understand the question better. The feeling of choosing is real as an experience. Whether it reflects what's actually happening in the brain, whether you are the one deciding, or whether you are the decision your brain already made, remains one of the deepest open questions about what it means to be human. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. In 1983, Libet showed that your brain starts preparing an action about half a second before you're conscious of deciding to do it. Some scientists, like Sam Harris, take this as evidence that free will is an illusion and every decision is determined by prior causes. Others, like Aaron Scherger, argue the readiness potential is just neural noise, not an unconscious decision. And compatibilists, like Daniel Dennett, argue the whole debate is built on the wrong definition of free will. That freedom isn't about escaping causation, it's about having the right kind of causal process, one that includes deliberation, self-control, and the ability to change your mind. The experiment is 40 years old, the question is thousands of years older, neither has been settled. The next time you make a decision, you might wonder whether you made it or whether it was made for you. you probably won't be able to tell the difference. That might be the point. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.